Well, welcome to the Made for Him podcast. I'm your host, Susie Zor, and I'm here with our guest, Amy Johnson. Amy is the mother of 11 children. Is that right?
That's right.
She was a student here back in, remind me, what years were you here?
86 to 88.
Okay, 86 to 88. You were married to one of our former teachers, Dan Johnson, who's now with the Lord. But you've had many opportunities to speak, not just here at the school, but other places too, your church, different women's conferences. So, delighted to have you here today.
Thank you.
So we've been talking about our, Made for Him conference back in March, and Amy was one of the ones who spoke for us then too. And so we're going to kind of just recap what you shared during that time. So, we broke it into two sessions, part one and part two, and the focus was on worship. So why that focus on worship, and what is the importance of that in our Christian lives?
Well, first of all, I think you chose that topic and gave it to me, I was thrilled about that because worship is, it was said by Griffin Thomas, worship, revelation and worship are the foundation of everything. And in the Christian life, it's vital to worship the Lord Jesus because you draw near to him, you're focusing on him. And as you focus on him, he's transforming you into his image. Worship is a vital topic to talk about because of that, because it shifts our focus and it helps us to know him better.
Yes. You focus that first session on the heart of worship, and you kind of had three questions that you split it up. Can you walk us through each of those?
Sure. Okay. Well, first of all, we asked, why is worship so vital? And to answer that question, we actually went to the passage in Matthew 4 that talked about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. That's a really familiar story in some ways, but we don't talk about it as often as some of the other Bible stories. I think, and yet it's so foundational to what the Lord has done for us, because as the Son of Man, fully man, as well as fully God, he endured all the temptation that the enemy could throw at him. The first man, Adam, as the representative of our race, failed in the temptation. But Jesus, the second Adam, was completely victorious over every temptation that the enemy could throw at him. And he emerged from that session in the wilderness victorious as a man on our behalf. But what was the pinnacle temptation that the enemy threw at him? First, he tempted him to turn stones into bread, feed yourself. Then he tempted him to, you know, throw himself down and exalt himself so people would see who he was. And he resisted those temptations. But the third one was, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and their glory if you'll fall down and worship me. He was after worship. Why was that? I mean, we have to pay attention to this. The enemy knows something about how important worship is. He's after that from the Son of God. I don't know why he thought it would work. But worship, he says, if you fall down and worship me, falling down is a part of worship. It's a surrender. So he knew if he could get the Son of God to fall down and worship him, he'd have him. Whoever you worship has your heart and they have you and they have control over you. And I talked to the girls about why would that have even been tempting to the Son of God, you know, but he had been fasting 40 days in the wilderness. He was weak. He was tired. He was hungry in a human body. He was fully man. And he came to redeem mankind. He loved the people that God created. The whole human race was so on his heart of love, came to redeem us. Well, here the enemy is basically saying, they're under my grip right now. And I'll just hand them over to you if you'll just do this one thing, fall down and worship me. And, you know, that was a temptation to avoid the cross. You know, here, I'll give you the people you love without you having to go through anything. But Jesus, our victorious conquering Savior, resisted that. And so, but this is why worship is so vital. You know, who you worship has control of you. And so we need to learn and understand what worship is, because we don't want to find our own lives under the grip of the enemy in this world. So it's vital. Then we talked about what is worship. And again, just basically, it's an act of surrender. It comes from, if you've read Mr. Carroll's book on worship, an original Anglo-Saxon term that basically talks about worth-ship, or what do you ascribe worth to? What do you consider valuable in your life? And that is far more than just the words we say. Mm-hmm. That's how we live.
Yeah.
How we live and the choices we make display what we consider to be valuable mm-hmm. or of worth. So real worship is not just a service we go to. It's not even just mm-hmm. what we do in our quiet time. It has to flow out of a heart that's surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's worth-ship. It's what we ascribe mm-hmm. worth to. Mm-hmm. And whoever we worship has our heart. Whoever has our heart has us.
Yeah.
So it's important.
What you were talking about with the what is it, you used a helpful word there to kind of describe or flesh that out, what that means.
Yes. Okay. To understand what it means mm-hmm. that worship is an act of surrender, I took the simple word for, three-letter word, mm-hmm. F-O-R, and sort of expounded on what that means because, I mean, the whole conference is called Made For Him. Mm-hmm. We want to worship Him. We want to understand what that word for means. So what I said was this, for is a word of direction. Mm-hmm. If I say head for the hills, I'm leaving where I am and I'm going towards the hills. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to live for Jesus, the direction of my life has to be His. Mm-hmm. For is a word of cost. So if I say this sweater's on sale for $12, it means I'm taking 12 mm-hmm. of my dollars and handing them to someone else so I can have that sweater. So mm-hmm. if my life is for Jesus, then I have to count the cost and mm-hmm. give that to Him. For is a word of surrender. If I say this gift is for you, I'm taking it out of my hands, mm-hmm. putting it in your hands. Again, it's a word of surrender. If my life is going to be for Jesus, mm-hmm. then I have to put it in His hands. Mm-hmm. And for is a word of purpose. Mm-hmm. If we say I live for the weekend, it means I'm directing all my focused attention toward that goal. Yep. If I say I'm going to live for Jesus, then all my life, purpose and direction and focused energy mm-hmm. is toward Him now, not mm-hmm. toward myself or my own desires. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that was how I sort of helped to illustrate the idea of surrender and that worship is flowing from a heart of surrender.
Yeah.
The third question was, who are we worshiping? Mm-hmm. Because again, we can understand that worship is important. We can understand what it is. We got to shift it then to the object of our worship. Yes. Because if we're not focused on who He is, then we're just learning a system, you right. know, and we don't want to, Christianity is not just a system. And Jesus is not just a concept. Mm-hmm. It's a living, vibrant relationship mm-hmm. with Him, with mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus Himself, who's mm-hmm. a living, exalted Savior. Mm-hmm. So I went then to the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation is full of songs of worship mm. and just looked at some of those songs of worship and, said that those songs focus on Jesus in three ways. Basically, they worship Him, that He's the creator, that He is the redeemer, and that mm. He is the victor. Mm-hmm. And those are, things that we need to remember as we go to worship Him. He made us. He's the creator of all things. Mm. Thou art worthy, O Lord, mm-hmm. to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou yeah. hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were mm. created. And we worship Him as the Redeemer. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Yeah. We will never be able to wrap our minds around what Jesus suffered in our place, not just physically on the cross, but in bearing and absorbing in mm. Himself the penalty, the shame, the guilt of our sin. He took all of it. He became sin for us mm-hmm. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Mm-hmm. He's worthy of our love and devotion forever.
What a Savior.
Yeah.
What a Savior.
And He's the victor. He reigns forever and ever. It will mm-hmm. be said one day, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Mm-hmm. Every knee is going to bow to Him. Every tongue confess that He is Lord. And we have the opportunity to do that now mm-hmm. before it's required. One day it'll be required. Mm. Everyone, heaven, earth, under the earth, the enemy himself, they're all going to mm-hmm. be required to worship Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity to choose that mm-hmm. now. Mm. And just to remember that though we cannot right now see Him with our eyes, mm. He is real, He is living, He's exalted. If we could see Him, worship would be no problem. Mm-hmm. We'd be on our face mm-hmm. in front of Him. Mm-hmm. So it's a pursuit we need to follow in this life, learning mm-hmm. to worship Him. It's mm-hmm. exceedingly important.
Amen. Yeah. And even you started touching on the importance of seeing it as a relationship. It's a person we're coming to. What do you think is the importance of keeping that kind of before us as we think about worship, that, you know, Christianity is a relationship with a person?
Yes. I think in our day, it's easy to look at Christianity as a system or a code of conduct or living. And even in good churches, sometimes this can be, you know, a mindset we fall into. And it's not that. It's not a code. It's not a system. It is a living, vibrant relationship with the Lord. He puts a high value on faith. And again, we don't see him yet with our eyes, but we see evidence of who he is all around us in all that he has made. We see in the word of God that he's constantly inviting us into a relationship. We see just in the fabric of human life that he's created on this world. He's made us relational. And he wants us to have relationships. All those relationships on the earth are meant to point us to himself. So he's constantly inviting us to believe him, to trust him, and to seek him. And the thing is, C.S. Lewis said, it is in the process of being worshipped that God communicates his presence to the worshiper. And, you know, many people say, well, the Lord's not really real to me. You know, you say these things, but I don't feel that in my own experience. But learning to worship helps to bring us into that understanding and awareness of his presence. And we need his presence in this life. We need him in the joyful day. We need him in the difficult day. We need the Lord. So worship helps to bring us into the understanding of that reality that he is present. He's there. And again, it shifts our focus. Worship is an act of focusing on him, being still, believing who he is, and speaking back to him those words of adoration for who he is makes his presence real to us.
Amen. Yeah, because he is a reality. And like you said, the object of our worship, who we're directing our attention to and all that. That's really helpful. Even as you're talking, you know, there's someone listening maybe that's like, yeah, he doesn't seem real to me, or I want that kind of faith. I want to like worship. I remember you talking a little bit about how faith grows, and it's not by looking at our faith or wanting to muster it up. I mean, how does our faith grow?
Yes. If you try really hard to have faith, it can be really frustrating because that's kind of self-focused, right? I want to be a person of faith. Faith grows as you look away to the object of faith, to the Lord Jesus. And that's kind of a quote from Hudson Taylor, who basically said this in a letter to his sister. You know, I struggled until I realized I had to look away from myself and my faith and just look at Jesus. Then faith grows because you're seeing how wonderful he is. You're focusing on how wonderful he is and the fact that he is creator, redeemer, and victor. So,
and that does seem like really a lot of the essence of worship is like, who are you looking at? Who are you being taken up with? He said, who are you occupied with? It's the one who is worthy, not me or not whatever I'm even able to give or who I'm able to be, but it's the one that created me, redeemed me, is victor.
We use sight words all the time when we talk about our thought processes. And, you know, we say, you know, focus on this, focus on that. Who are you looking at? We use the word sight words, eye words, because we have that capacity within us to choose our focus, choose what we think of, choose what we're occupied with. And sometimes that to me is like, you ride horses. I mean, I really don't either. I mean, a few times I've been on like touristy trail rides or something, but if you get on that horse, if it's starting to go the wrong direction, you have to take those reins and pull the horse's neck around, get it focused in the right direction. I feel like we have to do that with our own minds a lot of times because we're always presented with a choice in life, what we're going to look at. Are we going to focus on the fact that we're walking through something hard right now? Or are we going to focus on the fact that in that hard thing, the Lord is who he is? He promises he's God. He promises he's real. He promises his presence. He asks us to come to him. So choosing our focus, that's a lot of what worship is. And it takes stillness and time. Being still is important. It's something that we tend to struggle with in our day and age, really through any day and age. Jesus even talked to Martha and Mary about that, right? So this is not a new problem, being easily distracted, but being still with the Lord, choosing our focus, looking at him, surrendering to him because he's worthy, and speaking back to him words of love because of who he is. It can totally change our whole outlook on life and our experience of his presence in the midst of everything.
That's well worded. You said earlier we need the Lord in the dark day and the joyful day or something like that. How for those that are in the joyful day, because I think that it can be sometimes harder to acknowledge the Lord when everything's going well. Like, how would you encourage someone who's, I guess we can go through both of those, in the dark day to focus on the Lord, and then also to worship the Lord, and then also in the joyful day, how to keep that sense of like, I need the Lord, and I don't know, I'm just thinking about that.
I think it's cultivating a habit in all your ordinary days. Cultivate the habit of looking away to the Lord and worshiping Him. That will prepare you for the extraordinary day. Whether it's extraordinary joy or extraordinary sorrow, the daily habit is really, really important. And then when you go through the beautiful, joyful day, you're very aware that it's a gift from Him. He wants you to enjoy it, you know, enjoy the joy that He gives you. And then when you go through the more difficult, extraordinary day of sorrow, you're also very aware that He's present and He promises His presence in the midst of it. I've often thought, the day I married Dan Johnson, the Lord saw the day I would follow his casket out of the church after his funeral. But in that day of joy, the Lord was right there present and giving us joy, and not, he wasn't even giving us a foreshadowing or needing to think about the day that came later. He's just like, enjoy my presence right now. And for both of us, we had learned to cultivate that relationship with him daily in worship. So you just take the joy that he gives, and it's with him. It's not apart from him. It's in his presence. It's like you're at his table. But then in the darker day, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He's present in everything. But again, you're aware of that if you've cultivated that habit day in, day out in the very ordinary day. I mean, the word of God tells us, never despise the day of small things. In the small day, when it's just regular duties, when you're like, I have 11 kids, like when I'm wiping the high chair tray for the thousandth time, the Lord is present there. And you just cultivate the fact that he is present, and he's always the same. Cultivate that habit in the ordinary day.
Because our life is mainly ordinary days, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, days of small things.
That's so important. That's good. What do you think, as we think about worship and even what we're worshiping, why to do it, what do you think are maybe some other questions we could even ask ourselves to determine, you know, what's at the center of our hearts? What are we worshiping? Like, what would be some helpful kind of reflective questions to determine that, do you think? He said, someone, what has our hearts? Like, what, how does that look? Like, I don't know.
Well, what do you choose to think first thing in the morning when you wake up? Do you think, thank you, Lord, for this new day? You see, the thing is, you can learn to relate everything to the Lord, every moment of your day, because he's present. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Cultivate the response of gratitude to God in everything. And that's kind of a little test for you too. You know, when something goes a little bit wrong, whether it's just a stubbed toe or whatever, are you saying, thank you, Lord, you're present with me. You're sovereign. You allow everything. Do you throw up little arrow prayers when you meet someone, you know, Lord, give me your words for this person. It's like, where, how are you cultivating his presence with you day by day? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm kind of thinking ahead, because I think we'll get to that next session too, with what it actually looks like to worship, and, you know, the time we spend doing things, and what we're giving our, what we're making our value judgments on what's, you know, important. But yeah, that was helpful.
Well, you know, Mr. Carroll used to say, there's a crisis of faith and there's a process of faith. I think all of us in our lives have to come to a moment where we make this decision, whether it's that first moment of repenting and turning our life over to Jesus Christ and trusting him to save us. That's kind of the crisis moment. Or we come to other crisis moments where it's like, I've learned this thing, and I've learned that worship is important. Now I'm going to come to the Lord and say, I want to be a worshiper. There are those decisive moments that we have. But the crisis moments are always followed by a process, and that's the daily cultivation. It's like when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I mean, the taking of the yoke is an initial act, but learn of me, that's day by day by day by day. Mm-hmm. So we have to come to both. We have to come to the crisis where the choice is made, the surrender is given. Lord Jesus, you're Lord. I acknowledge this. Yeah. I give myself to you. Mm-hmm. Or that moment where we decide, okay, I see worship is really important. I'm going to trust you to help me cultivate this life of worship. But then it's the daily choices, the daily choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Thank you. Okay, so kind of closing out this session on the heart of worship, what would you say is kind of the main takeaway? What would you want to leave with someone after hearing this of what is the heart of worship?
Jesus is everything.
Mm.
Very simply, go back to that. Jesus is everything.
Mm.
He's Lord, he's life, he's love. Mm. He's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Carroll taught us to say and to repeat on tests over and over again, life reduced to fellowship with Jesus Christ makes the complicated simple.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the focus. He's everything. He's Lord. He's King. But stay very simple in that focus.
Mm-hmm.
That is the important thing.
Mm. Amen. Well, thank you for this first episode. And next time we'll be talking about the how of worship as a little teaser, and how we can practically apply kind of what we've heard here to live a life that is actually a life of worship. You can be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X to stay connected, and we look forward to sharing our next podcast with you.
Yeah.